My father came here, it was in 1905. Then my mother came, that's home, in 1910 with my Aunt Emery. And she's the one that got my father and my mother together.
Really?
I asked Aunt Lima that this morning, she told me. And my mother's name is Victoria, and my father is Nicola. Nicola Angelo, that's the middle name. And they got married in 1910. And they settled on Front Street in that house where we were all born and raised. And the house is still there, but...
Is it? I'll have to go by
They painted his own house now. And but anyway, we all were born and raised there. And Julia, she was the oldest. And Dominic, second, Lena, secured the oldest. Then me, then Uncle Faye, Uncle Jeannie, Uncle Tony, and your dad. And I remember your dad, when he was small, my father, he babied him. We all grew up and went, when we saw him up, we all went to St. Joseph's School. And that's where I went to the 8th grade there, and that's where I quit school, because it was 1932, and it was the Depression time. Nobody was working, so I had to go to work to help support the family, because nobody was working at the time. And I was lucky, because I was making a dime an hour, and they'd send guys home from work, they'd pay them 40 cents an hour, to keep us, the young guys, making a dime an hour. And that's the way it was then. When I got to be 12, 13 years old, well, coal was hard to buy then, so we used to take up freight trains and throw coal off and we'd bring it home. And by the time the railroad detective had chased us. And so one detective, he knew my father real well, and he'd come over. My father took a glass of wine, and he'd tell my father, you tell Nick to go over there and pick the coal up and bring it home, and don't sell it, because we won't use. So all day long, I was with a push cart, hauling coal back and forth, so we filled the coal van up for the whole winter. So after that was over, and then there used to be a switch train that come right along the house there, and we used to steal coal over there, throw it off, and I had two shandies built. I had about 5 tons in each one. And so a lot of times I wanted some money to go to a show, and I'd get a couple bushels of coal, and I'd go sell it for 50 cents to go to a show. And my father caught me doing that one time, and he said, that coal is in our property, and I stayed home. I said, I got the coal bin filled. I said, that's the thing for me. He says, you want your coal to sell, you don't get it anywhere. But anyway, that's how a lot of us fellows made our money that time. And then we used to go, like I was telling you, the paper mills, they had a dump around a block, and these things selected, they took all this paper that was homogenized them to make big boxes. They take the rags and the wood and stuff, take it to it over there, and scratch around, we'd get the rags and save it, pieces of wood and bring them home. Then we'd find a lot of stuff, like we'd sell grass, pieces of grass and bread and stuff like that, we'd sell. Then we made spending money. Then once in a while, we were lucky, we'd find, we had gold pinpoints. We was trying them.
What is pinpoint?
Well, you know, these are ink pens. They had that, you see they had that point in there?
So
they were made out of gold plate, and we'd sell them, maybe get diamond piece for them, and we'd find gold teeth. And we'd sell them for 50 cents a piece. And there was always a bunch of us all together. We, five or six of us, we worked together, and we'd pull our money together, and then at the end of the week or month, we'd see how much we had. And that's how we got spending money. Then at people from MCA. Yeah, ice cream truck, and buy it, and ice cream chunks of ice, they give us ice for the old ice box.
Oh,
and
right.
They didn't have refrigerators. And that's how we kept stuff cool in the house. Sometimes we see some goodies in there and we can pitch without asking for it. So, there was all kind of that, and everything was good. Like, your dad, he was the youngest, and him, Uncle Tony and Uncle Jeannie, they were going to school, and we worked in the yard, put in a garden. We had a spade and go up and look for wood and stuff like that. And everything we made, we gave to Noah. Kid for us, and he was one of the good. But my father, he was a little bit on the strict side. We run out some place and brought something home, we didn't write the suit in, or we had to go back and make sure we're in the street. And so like I was telling you about Uncle Jay, he had that money
fish.
So he had some money, he had the $4, I remember.
And that was probably a lot then.
Yeah, it was a lot of money then. And so Uncle Faith come home, he went to get him, he was gone. So, because I knew where it was at, he kind of gave me the way that I took it. So my father, he listened to Uncle Faith, and he gave me a good looking for it. And I told him I didn't take it. I knew where it was at, and I showed him. And it was the inside toilet that we had then, and it was made out of cement blocks. So my father knocked that wall down, and there was the money all chewed up at the bottom of that wall with the mice in it. Then my father helped him for not giving the money to his mother to work for him. So anyway, out of that failure, we made money. That's how we enjoyed ourselves. And
What was there to do there? I mean, what was your entertainment? Did they have movies to go to when they had?
Well, we had movies. Sometimes we had movies if we got in for a dime. Like, we'd walk the town, and we used to go buy a bag of popcorn or ice cream cone for a nickel. And we'd get a dime, maybe be 7 or 8 of us guys to go downtown. We had a dime between us, so one guy paid to go into the show. So he went inside, and he went to the side door, opened the door, and the rest of us snuck in. So we did that on Saturdays. Then we'd play ball a lot of times. We'd play ball, played hockey. We'd use an empty milk can. We'd go and get big clubs or pole from a tree, and we make hockey sticks on that. We'd play in the middle of the street for that. And that was a pretty hard game to play because you had guys on each side, and if the guy got in the way, we hit him in the legs. We call them sheenies. We said, sheeny on your own side. And so if the guy went there, you hit him in the leg at the same time you're out of it. And, as we got a little older, then we started playing softball. And we had teams on both sides. And we cleaned out a whole field of them because people had dirt dumped in there because they didn't want the kids going through there. So all of us kids in the neighborhood, we got rakes and shovels. We leveled our whole field out and made a ball diamond out of there and everything.
Now where is this at?
Right back in Noah's house.
Oh, okay.
You know where the kids were apartments?
Right.
So it's right in there. We cleaned it all out. Then,
Winchester?
Yeah, Winchester and the New York Central Railroad.
Okay.
And from one house on Front Street to the river. We had it all cleaned out. Then Mr. Tidora, his son Elvis and I were the same age. And so they couldn't stand up to playing. So they had guys bring loads of dirt in the backyard. They kept up guys wasting our time. That's what they said to them, these playing ball. It was wasting our time, so they had to do work around the house. And So we explained one day, my father came home from work, he got five truckloads of dirt all in the backyard, and he called us, and brought the door, came to help me, and I helped him. We had to lift that whole thing up and mix it in with the other dirt for the garden. And so we hurried up and did it. So the next day we go pay ball again, then we had to go up down to where the port is now and get tomato pools for steaks for tomatoes. And we come home, and I had to go with Al. He brought one load home, and his father found a couple of steaks that was a little bit crooked, so he threw them all away, and we had to go back and make sure they were straight. These kids, they got it pretty soft from what we had. But we enjoyed ourselves in different ways, thinking. On Thursday nights, when we were we had some of the big bands were playing on radio, and we always made sure that we got somebody's house sometimes. Like the most popular one at the time were the Mills Brothers. They come on Thursday night, and we were doing something that we wanted to make sure we got home to watch the Mills Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that little thing, nice thing that we got a little older, and we went fishing all the time.
And that was there at that
tarp pond? No, people were fishing down the river. The river behind it. And at the time, the river was clean. Just to get some boat fish, bullheads, and tarp. They used to catch pike. And different fish come up in the river. Now that it's cold like this, they didn't have the dams in them days either. And you could wade across the river and just up to your knees all the way up the river. Now that the dams are down pretty deep, and we used to get the fish and clean them and go and sell them. A lot of people like fish.
Mm-hmm.
We'd give them maybe 50 cents for a big carp, but they wanted them clean. And so that's where they bought them. But the good fish, we used to bring home, like suckers, elves, like a carp family. Oh, yeah. We'll tell you about Uncle Faith. Well, anyway, after that, one day, we was walking down the street, and the east side was flooded. And my aunt was on East Winchester Street, marked by the consolidated dump. There was a creek going through the backyard, and somebody had dug a well about 6-7 feet deep. And during the winter time, it froze over, and my brother Alfred, he was small, and I was about 12 or 13 years old at the time. Alfred ran across the creek and he went through the ice, fell in the well, and I seen him. And so I ran over there, and the ice had breaks. There was a fence along the creek there. It was laying down, so I crawled on the fence. And there was, until I got to where I was at, and I run my arm right through the ice, and I grabbed Alfred's first chance. I got right by the hair, and I pulled him out.
And, Thank God you thought.
So we went to a whole ship we had back there. We had a little fire in there. We made it all get dry. We never told my mother that, because we'd have both got hurt. And time my brother Tony was small. And where the waterworks is there now on East Front Street, where they had the big bins over there, they were unloading coal. That was a drop about 30 feet. And Tony was following us kids around. Tony was about 4 or 5 years old. And I was there sitting there, we was talking. He got on top of this wall, and he just started to fall in, and I grabbed him by the leg that time. I don't know if Tony remembers that or not. I've never said anything to anybody. But I think Uncle Faye was there and somebody else. And I got caught him by the foot and brought him back and brought him home. And I didn't say nothing to my mother then either. So anyway, when we started growing up, when I was 15 years old, I worked for the school as a custodian. at the St. Joe's thing there. They were building a priest house at the time. That was 1933 and 34. That's when St. Joe's caught on fire in 34. And in 35, they were building a priest house. And I went to work there with me and my brother-in-law, Sam, and Mary. And it was Angelo Tracy, and then so we worked for this contract to build in the priest house. We cleaned bricks and next quarter and everything. We wanted to be working there for 50 cents an hour. And we worked there all summer, and we worked for Mineral Billets up there, and Harry Bonifacio was owner of the company, and he wanted this contractor from Detroit to pay him 50 cents an hour, so he'd give us 40 cents an hour, and he didn't make it that hour. But the contractor wanted to know if we should pay him or pay us. We said, we pay us. That's where he is. So we said, sure, he says. So anyway, we finished all summer there and everything, and then I went to work for a foundation. I drove a truck there after I was 15, 16 years old, till I was about 20-some years old, and I met Aunt Louise when I was 22 years old.
Mm-hmm. How did you meet?
Well, we met one day. I was working with the Hearthstone in different coal yards. So a friend of mine at the time, he's dead now, his name is Bob Olskett. So him and I, we got paid that day, and we went downtown to each bar and said, soup. Said, let's go out and celebrate. So we did. We went downtown, we walked from my house to the Brass Rail. And we went in there drinking beer, and I seen this good-looking girl sitting there. And there was another couple there, and this other couple were going to get married. And I knew her for a good many years, and her sister, and my wife at the time as well. That's when I met her. So, Elizabeth Tiffany, she's the one who's getting married. She called us over to the table and introduced me to my wife. And then I could get her on my mind. And that's it. And that was the time I quit playing baseball and quit doing every fish. My time was all on her. And my brother Faye, well, before that, he got married. And I think it was, your dad's birthday, John, was February the 3rd, it was your dad's birthday, 48 years ago. Your dad's about 9, 11 years old. That's when Uncle Faye got married. I was his best man. And I entertained him that night. And, nobody was working. I was only working so I could pay money to go out. So I think a few dollars. I think it was $5 for his wedding. And boy, we had a nice party. It was over at his brother's house, Dorothy's brother's house. We had a nice party there. And later on in years, I went to work. Well, I still worked at the coal yard. Until I was 27 years old.
Where was the coal yard?
It was on East 3rd Street. It used to be Monroe Building Supply. Right now, that's Monroe Scrap, the metal company they took over. And that's where I worked. So I went to service. And when I come home, I didn't go back to work. I worked at paper mill, I consolidated.
Now you said you went to service.
Yeah, I went to service in 45 because this guy, Monroe Building Supply, he couldn't get nobody to work, and he knew the head of the draft board, and he kept me out of the Army because he couldn't get nobody to work. He kept me out of the Army from, I went to 45 long. Uncle Dan went in 41, and Uncle Jeannie, I think he went around 42. Uncle Tony went in 43, and Uncle Faye went to go in. So there was four brothers. Then in 45, this fellow, the head of the draft board, he gave up the job So then I had left the service. I served 1 year off the Pacific Coast in New Caledonia for 8 months. And when I came home from service, I went to work for Consolidated. I worked there from 1975 when they shut the plant down. So I couldn't get jobs anyplace. I went all over. Just my age, I was 57 years old when they shut down, so I couldn't get a job. I got to the end of the public schools, and I worked there until I was 65. And before that, though, in 1946, we built an apartment in house, in Moon's house.
And so what, the bigger house in front?
Yeah, but on the side they built the apartment. And that's where we lived until 1950. And when we bought the house on 628 East 7th Street, they stayed there until 1959. And well, my son Nicky was born when we bought that house on 7th Street, 1950. Marianne was born when I was in service in 1945, and I come home for an emergency furlough. And I was home about 10 days, and I went back. And after I come back, we moved back to Mama. Louise and Marianne moved to Toledo when I was in service with her mom and dad. When I came home, we came back to Monroe. And we built an apartment next door to my mother's house, that we were known.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed there in 1950. We bought the house at 628 East 7th Street. We lived there 9 years. Then we bought this lot, and we built here. And we started here, and your dad, and Uncle Tony, and them, they all helped. We pitched in, and they had the house worked in, and we worked in and finished inside. Brothers, whenever you need any help, you know, all you had to do is say the word, and he was right there, no ifs or buts. And rare to meet a bunch of brothers like that. I wouldn't trade for anybody.
How was your Christmases then, when you were growing up? I mean, is it like now, or?
No, for years ago, Christmas, I know, we started Christmas when we lived in the apartment on Front Street. Mary Ann was, I think, the first grandchild. Didn't you, Louise? Yeah, Nikki. Faye's boy. Nikki's the first. And we got together. When Mary Ann got older and Adam was born, she was a little old, 2-3 years old, so they didn't remember Santa Claus. We thought we'd have a Christmas party over in Owen's house. And every year for Christmas Eve, we all ended up over in Owen's house, all the grandkids, and Santa Claus was always there. And, sometimes it'd be 60, 70 of us over there. Then we moved into the apartment. And we had a big basement in there, we had it down there. Then we had, every year after that, as long as Norm was living, we always had Christmas Eve at one of the brothers or sister's house. Then when Norm died, then the family was getting bigger, then it just kind of broke away. But we're still today, my brothers are still a close family.
Mm-hmm.
And my sisters too. They started. Everybody's getting old, you can't do what you did.
It's just so big now, it's hard to fit everyone in one place, so.
Well, I had him over here, and Uncle Tony had him, and your dad had him at the house. There used to be quite a few of us.
Mm-hmm.
And today, the family's all big, and they all, our kids have their families, and that's where it is. And, We get together once in a while, but still, close family.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having Christmas parties now, we have our reunions every year, and which is nice. Some of the families moved out of town, they can't make it, but we try every year to make it.
Now, during Depression year, Christmas, was that, did you get lots of toys?
We didn't get toys in the early Depression year. I remember real well when I was about 10, 11 years old, my godmother, Mrs. Master Marco, she baptized most of us, except Uncle Tony. And for Christmas, we all had to go to her house. And we didn't get toys or something like that, but we always got baskets of cookies and fruits and stuff like that. And the families got together, you know. And I could still right today, the smell of cookies and the oranges. And that's where we celebrated. And then we used to have them days like my dad was living this imported fish. Like we know we have eel and codfish. We call it bacala today. It's a real hard fish that's dried and you have to saw it and soak it in water 2-3 days. And but it was good. They'd make a stew out of it or a soup. And we said, take and cook with the tomato sauce. And there's chickpeas. And we call it Gigi Bacala. We have that. Lawn, she always had a special saint, like St. Joseph. And every March of 19th, she'd have her dish, special dish with the honor of St. Joseph. And she always had everybody there. Then after she passed, Lena, my sister, took over, so they got to where she couldn't do much anymore. No. She does still for her family, and we, my wife Louise, she does it now here. But we get to try to get my brothers and them over here. And that's what we do. And Christmas is, well, the kids are growing up now. We got a lot of smaller kids, but it's different today than what it was. Because today, the kids, everything's mechanized, and they're all monster toys and everything. Yeah. We made most of our own toys.
Did you have a bike in that?
I had a scooter. We made out of old skates, 2x4s, or an orange crate. That's how we made our scooters. And we made pistols out of wood. We shoot rubbers. They'd pick a little inner tube, we cut it into half-inch circles, and we'd shoot that. Then we used to make bow and arrows, go down a tree, get a good branch from a tree, and I straighten and make arrows out of that, and we'd plant some kind of root sticks and weed, and the folks that learned to make arrows in that. And that's where we used to enjoy ourselves. We'd play cowboys and Indians. There was a big cave in the back field, cover them up, and we'd hide stuff in there. And, well, the smaller kids, when they took over, and later on, after the kids got older, they started playing from school and more different games than we did. And my brother Tony was 13 years old. He started doing for music, so he took up accordions, and he did real good. He went to service, and I found an old one for him. I sent it to him overseas. And then so he entertained themselves over there. And when he came home, he left it over there to the YMCA or some organization where then he came home, then he bought himself a new one. And he went to school, music school, and then he went to the DI. And he got himself a band. And he bought himself a very expensive accordion in them days. And he played every weekend. Holidays and everything, he always played, and till lately, then he retired from playing, but he still plays accordion. He's got a new one now, and the one he bought, he gave to me, so got rid of it, and I sold to my nephew Nick. And Nick, when he was young, and then he was 19, 20 years old.
You told me a time that you went along a creek and you found some things.
Yeah, well, this was in 1930, 1930, 31, or 32. I was about 4 years old, 13 maybe. I was still going to school. I was walking down the River Raisin between the Winchester and the Eastchester Bridge. And I hadn't seen something on the ground. I picked it up with an old pistol. It had been an old cavalry pistol because it was all rusted. And picked that up and I found a penny, an 1826 penny, and I still have it today. And at the festival I had it cleaned up and everything. I cleaned up the wall and everything, and I got the magazine working with the whole chamber. But the penny I still have. I had it by the way to the wall about 25, 30 years ago. Like I said, it might be worth $4, so I said, well, I'll just keep it.
Right.
And I still have it.
Keep in the past, yeah. For sure.
So, Thank you. grown woman, and I had the backyard all fenced in about 6 foot chicken fence in there that had a whole lot of dice. It must have been about, well, the whole lot, let's say it was about 100 feet deep by 40 feet wide. And at the time, I was working at the Salivator. So when Uncle Ferry gave me the message, he was going to kill the turkey for Thanksgiving dinner. If you want to see a show, you should see Uncle Ferry trying to catch a turkey. Whenever he got away from him, Uncle Ferry chasing him around 1 yard, and he finally dove and tackled it. And he lost his glasses. He was trying to hold on to the turkey in one hand and shoot from the truck. But he got the milk out of the turkey, which is good. And well, we got home good. We all spent the day on holidays.
Now, did Grandpa have any brothers or?
Well, like I say, Grandpa had one sister in the world. Went around and they put that sewer in on the prison school, and that was all dug by hand. And if he worked there, that was about the most he ever worked in one whole year when he took that tour. Then he worked cement finisher. And during the Depression, things got bad. Sometimes he worked 1 or 2 days a week, sometimes he would go 2 or 3 weeks, and they didn't work at all. And that's how wheat started going up. Get coal off the trains and selling it, and pick up stuff under the dumps, selling it, and we'd help water it that way. And I remember even when I was a kid, we used to walk under the river, and we'd find a great big squash. Well, we'd weigh about 10, 20 pounds. Well, we could go there. We'd see the grave and the rocks on it. And they were really good. I used to get gas. And we used to be able to go by and pick up along the river. Then they had wild pear trees and apples and pick up fruit like that. But then in Oldham, we always made a big garden. And we had to work at it. Then we'd go fishing. And just enjoy yourself. And I remember one time, my uncle and my dad, well, I was, must have been around 14, 15 years old at the time, we were in the backyard digging for worms for bait. But my dad and my uncle, I don't know who else, we went to the state park, that was from our house, it was 3 or 4 miles, and we went up there to fish. And at the time, there was a lot of oysters along the lake, and we couldn't come from it. After that, go to home. There was all I was saying about in the garden. It was in the backyard digging for worms, and I was digging, and Uncle Faye, he was right down close to the shovel. He was picking up the shovel, and somehow the shovel slipped out of my hand, and I cut him right in the eye. And, thank God he's all right today. We had a good baby and all that. They used to make wine. That's the most main thing they had. They made their own wine. And he always had the right kind of table for us. And I'd work. Sometimes he'd make $10 a week. Sometimes maybe a little more. It seemed to enjoy yourself. The most thing was, we'd go to the show. We had 2 theaters downtown, the old Dixie Theater, Norman Oak Theater, which are both torn down. And we had the downstairs, down the east side, we had the old, these are called Garlic Theater. A lot of people in town will remember that. This one guy, the name of Jimmy George, he was one of them. And there was old salad movies, and we go ahead and we had somebody playing the piano. And I was doing the news, doing the show. And we used to sneak in there quite a bit of time, too. And then we used to get in there for a nickel or a dime. And basically, every Friday, or Saturday afternoon, it's the Friday, we used to go to school. Every day of the week, except on Thursdays, every day this whole train came by, and we got our coal.
Well, I want to thank you for this interview.
Yes, I hope it was good.